Well, somebody who's going to make sure that we're not leaving too much behind. Well, actually, what we do know, that's wrong. What we do leave behind for our mokopuna is an understanding of the world in which we live, the understanding that everything is interlinked, the human behavior, the total ecosystem is interlinked. And I'm so delighted this evening to welcome again to Radio Wāte Rangi Matamua. And Rangi, lovely to have you with us this evening.
Kia ora, oa. So good to hear your voice.
Thank you, thank you. And you've been busy, of course. I see you are mentioned often in dispatches. People are talking about your mahi, so you must be very busy and looking forward to the Christmas break, I guess.
I am. I'm very busy, but, you know, there's no excuse not to be busy, I guess. Te ao Māori is always doing something and on the move, and I'm just, you know, really privileged to be in the role that I'm in and to be as busy as I am, really.
Yes, well, you know, because you've had such a busy year, and I guess, you know, I always say, oh, thank goodness that next year will be, you know, won't be quite as hectic. But I can tell you, Rangi, ever since I've been saying that, which has basically been for the last two decades, it never pans out that way. We always seem to be just as busy as the year we left behind.
Ticker. I think sometimes it gets worse. We lull ourselves into a false sense of security that we're going to have more time, and we just seem to pack more in. So it'll be good, though, to have a little bit of time out to rest in. And I hope everyone's looking to do that this year. Just take some time out and check in with our whānau.
Yes, that's right, that's right. So you would have been following, and I know I'm going to talk to you a little bit about maybe some of the things you're going to be doing next year, but can I just ask, you know, you would have been excited to see some of the results of the 2023 election?
Yes, I was very excited and happy for particularly the Māori Party. Mm-hmm. And I think that I have a feeling that there's been a little bit of a shift, and particularly there's been a youth vote perhaps that has come through, and the likes of the Hana Maipis and the Wahine Māori that are taking on these roles and coming into leadership roles within our political fields. I think it's wonderful to see, and it'd be interesting to see how the government, this new government, looks at its relationships with Māori. You know, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to continue as Māori to solidify our position of the things that are important to us, and to, like we do, share our culture and our language and who we are with the world.
Well, that's right. And we've never been exclusive. We've always wanted to be inclusive. We've always wanted to share, because we know that the knowledge that we have sustained our generations before us. And of course, the other thing too is our knowledge was changing all the time. You know, when it was necessary to change, we would look at different ways of adapting our kaitiaki role. So, you know, we've been very flexible in the past. We know that change is important, and we also know when it's necessary and when it's not necessary. So I think, you know, iwi Māori, we are very flexible.
Well, part of our whole understanding of everything is our ability to adapt. If we survive because we adapt. And you know, when our ancestors left the islands and they had their own systems and their own understandings of that environment, they came here, they came to new lands with new resources, with different climate, and they adjusted their understanding of their world to this place. And we've thrived because of the ability to adjust. And as the world changes, Māori, we continue to evolve and reinvent ourselves, and I think that's that ability to be ever changing and ever evolving and accepting of change is perhaps the biggest thing that allows us to survive as a people.
Yes, yes. Look, I know that you've been a scientist and a researcher, but have you always also been an educator as well? Is that the role now that you're moving into, or taking on more of that role?
I've probably been an educator more than anything else, actually. I've taught it mostly out of university, so probably for 30-something years I've been teaching at universities. And so that's been my... perhaps, and it has been in the field of science and mātauranga Māori, but I've kind of have a this course that I'm currently taking at the moment is a little bit different in the fact that it's not aligned to any university or any institution. And it's more a whānau than anything else. And I've been thinking about where is the best place to hold or to teach or to engage in mātauranga Māori. And the more I think about it, the more I think it's just directly with our people. I don't think we actually need a middle person to allow us to engage with our people or to validate our knowledge either. Our knowledge is what it always is. It's our mātauranga. And I don't think we need to look at another institution as a terms of validating or giving it qualifications or kudos, because we do that as a people. And if it's important to us, it is validated.
Yes, I do agree with you there. And it's so we don't have to have anybody in the middle. You can, you know, and I believe that wānanga is a good way of doing that. So is this something that I suspect that people have been calling on you, particularly in recent over the last year or two, because what you've done, I believe, Rangi, is that you have been able to explain in a very, how would we say it, in a easy to understand way. You know, you've been able to share your knowledge, really, it's your knowledge, in an easy to understand way, so that people have been starting to talk about, well, you know, I need to know more. Should I be more informed? And maybe I'll enjoy learning more. So I think that's what's happened here. Would that be right?
It would be right. You're right. You know, with what has happened with Matariki, and Matariki is just one part of our, you know, our mātauranga, one part of our world. And I loved what you were saying before about having the connections to everything else. And just before I came on, talking about that wider view of the interconnectedness of our world and our understanding of it. And, you know, Matariki really, I think for many involved in mātauranga Māori, has been a little bit of a platform or a launching pad for us to talk about our own knowledge and to engage in our own knowledge. And, you know, we're 2 years into the Matariki holiday. Next year will be year number three. And just the way it's been embraced, but as part of that embracing, I just didn't want it to be, you know, when we established it, a day off. It was bigger than that. It was talking about this environmentally driven lunisolar calendar system of time that connects to every part of our environment and is celebrated by people as they come together to celebrate the natural world and celebrate each other. And so there's a lot of science in it, and our people were, and there's empirical science at the heart of mātauranga Māori. And I'm really, makes me hoha when people just talk about us as just being involved in myths and legends. There is science. You don't navigate the Pacific Ocean on myths and legends. Now, you don't come here and live like we did and thrive in this environment on myths and legends. And so the course that I've developed out is called Matariki Me Te Maramataka. So it really unpacks a Māori understanding of time. It talks about Māori divisions of time. It talks about decolonizing time. It talks about environmentally driven timekeeping systems. It talks about stars, sun, and moon as ways of connecting us into our natural world. And it talks about Matariki and all of, you know, it's eight weeks, one day a week, for 8 weeks, a whole day where we sit down and we wānanga. And it's something that I've been putting together probably for a couple of decades. And I kind of thought to myself, after 30-something years of in this space, am I ready to teach to anyone that's in? And I thought, no, it's time. So I just put it out, and it's just online. I'm Living by the Stars on my webpage, and I've just started with 100 students that have come in, and we're halfway through the first run of the course, and it's going really well. I'm loving the interaction with the students, and I'm spending time learning from them as well. So that's pretty much where the program came from.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, is there any prerequisite knowledge or knowledge is some sort of a basic knowledge a prerequisite for coming on to your course or to your to the wānanga?
Carl, no, you don't need te reo Māori. You don't need, even though we have elements of te reo Māori, I'm always, you know, making sure if I come back and go through it, translate it to so everyone understands. It's just for people who are interested, have an appreciation of the space, and I just want to learn more. I initially developed it out for teachers and wanted to help teachers to teach this kind of mātauranga within the classroom. But the call was so many people outside of that field saying, we want to do it too. So I was like, well, come on in. And we just started and we've launched it. Hopefully next year we'll get a few runs and a few cohorts come through. And you don't need anything, just, I guess, an open mind and an appreciation of how wonderful Indigenous knowledge is.
Would you have been oversubscribed, Rangi?
Yes, actually. Yes. Yes, we were. That's a good thing, though. And we've told people, look, because I can only teach one course a week, as you can imagine, we're just all over so many other things happening. But it is something we're looking to probably run two cohorts of it, at the same time. And as the numbers are looking at increasing, we just hopefully we can help people really engage in the space. And it's more than just matariki and maramataka. It's so much more about environment, biology, science, and the way that we as Māori engage in those spaces.
Yes, well, I mean, years ago, our knowledge was always poo-hooed, certainly by the Western scientists and the Pākehā institutions. And so, it's one just wonderful now just to see how our whānau, our people are really embracing and wanting to learn as much as they can. And I think for so many people, anything to do with the sciences or anything to do with, the stratosphere and the up there and out there, actually. It was. I think you had to be very bright. I remember when I was at school, I thought, oh, God, I wouldn't be bright enough to understand anything like that. And I regret that now because sometimes when I watch things on the television, Rangi, and, I watch these programs, I think, God, it's interesting. But, at school, I just thought, no, you've got to be really bright. You've got to be in the senior stream to be up there learning all of that. But really, it's available to everybody. But nobody was interested in making things easy peasy to understand.
That's right. And, look, I was the same. I failed fourth form science. And then as an adult, I became the Prime Minister's science communicator and won that award. And, I think to myself, my fourth form science teacher would be ripping his hair out because the way that he explained science was just so foreign to me. I just couldn't understand it. But when I allowed myself to realize that the periodic table is whakapapa and actually we are natural scientists, the best natural scientists on the planet. We this always amazes me when I go to Māori communities and this year I was lucky enough to go to the east coast of Tokomaru Bay and have a wānanga there, because that's what I love the most, is getting out into our communities. And I talk to these people there and they say, no, we don't know anything about science, we don't understand. But then they started talking about the correct tides on which to fish for a particular fish because they're doing a particular thing under a particular moon at a particular season. I'm like, that's science, right? And you're like, no, it's just what we know. That's just our practice. So we've always been scientists. We've just been told by mainstream institutions that we're not, because it doesn't fit within their framework of what a scientist is. But we've always been scientists.
Yeah, I think you're right there. And tell me, in the with the wānanga that you've been taking now and you're halfway through it, have there been any surprises? Because I know it's your first one in terms of this one that you put together specifically. Have there been any surprise learnings for you from that, or something that you didn't think that would be maybe something that I should think about in the future or incorporate?
I think for me, I learn as much because we have sessions because it's all online, but we have question and answer sessions, and I'm learning as much from the students as they are taking learning from me, I guess. And we engage they'll ask questions about particular aspects of astronomy or particular aspects of names for particular stars or how the sun moves throughout the seasons and the names for the solstice, and then they'll add their own kōrero from their particular region. And I think that straight away enriches the whole experience. It's not one person standing up and spoon-feeding other people, but it's this two-way interaction of engagement. And that is a wānanga for me. That is the essence of a wānanga, where you cross-pollinate each other's thoughts and ideas and just the openness. But straight away, the beauty of mātauranga Māori is that we're only a couple of minutes into the wānanga, and you can see everyone making those much deeper connections. You know, it's becoming part of who they are, because it's always been part of who we are. And it's leading people to start thinking not just about knowing, but practice. And mātauranga Māori does not exist in isolation of practice. And you talked before about the need, just before I came on, to be responsible for what we do in our environment and our world, and the challenges that we're facing in the future. And it's practice. It'll come back to the mātauranga Māori that we have and our ability to apply it in a place of practice that will ensure our survival. And I truly believe that, and that's what I'm seeing coming through in the wānanga.
Well, you know, I think if we had have been, if the world had have been operating under those, mātauranga Māori sort of values over say the last many centuries, we wouldn't be in a climate crisis right now. Well, I don't believe we would be.
Tika, totally agree.
So, you know, it's a terrible thing to say, but really, we reap what we sow, don't we?
Very much so, and I think that's one of the things that is a little bit out of our hands sometimes is, you know, we will, as a people, we've always screamed out for the importance of water quality. We've always held these relationships to our natural world. It's not just a resource that you utilize and destroy so you can sell more products overseas. You know, we need to think about what we leave behind. And you talked exactly about that, what we leave behind for our mokopuna. And I think, you know, what I'm hoping to do is be part of a movement that helps to re-indigenize our understanding of our world. And Matariki is part of that. And I don't just mean re-indigenize for Māori. It's re-indigenize for everyone. Because those beautiful indigenous values that underpin our connection with our world have been part of human society. It's just been in recent times, particularly after industrialization and the commercialization of everything, that we're just destroying our planet just to make money. And we need to probably reconsider our position on the entire way that we operate as a species. And hopefully I can play a little bit of a role in supporting people to be part of a movement of change and of connecting back to our astronomical bodies, to our cultural narratives, to our practices, and to who we are.
Yeah, I do agree with you. And I think if you look all around the world now, Rangi, so many indigenous people in their own countries, they are actually calling for change. That comes down to treatment of how we treat the land and the land use, how we treat our waterways, the air pollution, all of that. So there is that worldwide movement now to try and get back to those, back to being respectful of the environment in which we live, because we know now that it is, I'm not going to say it's screwed, but it's been tampered with to such an extent now we actually see what's happening around the world, and we know that this has been caused by man's indifference to the environment and the use of the environment.
Yeah, tika, tika. Just even now, we're so early in the summer season, and there's massive bushfires raging in Australia.
Yes.
I suspect that, you know, the ongoing storms and that we've got happening, an increasing number of storms will just. We're to blame. We are responsible for that, and no amount of financial forecasting or budget savings is going to fix that issue. Only our practices will.
And do you think that with this With this, what would you call it now? Obviously, this increased awareness in our environment and the climate, because young people, I think, are really, they are into climate, well, not into climate change, but they certainly are seeing the effects of climate change and in their studies at school. Do you think we will see an increase in young Māori who are starting to look at the oceans, what would you say, university studies in oceanography and in other sciences? And do you think we'll see an increase in that area?
I believe so. I believe so, and I hope so. Mm. I hope so because I think we have a lot to learn. Mainstream science has a lot to learn from Indigenous knowledge, and I think vice versa. I think if we can draw on each other's understandings and approaches to understanding the world, and we do need more Māori in the sciences. We do, and they're natural. Like I said, we're natural scientists. The bit that concerns me a little bit though is not so much because we do have the rangatahi and the youth coming through, and they are really looking for, and it's the biggest issue of the day. Global warming and what's happening with the climate is the biggest issue of the day. What we don't have, and that's kind of the and I'm not too sure you probably would have seen this more than me, but from a political standpoint, we don't have the political will to do anything about it. And that's just not in Aotearoa. That's right across the globe. We talk about it, and we come up with these unachievable, well, these goals that no one really commits to achieving, particularly in the developed world. It's not the, you're right, it's not the the countries that aren't so developed, for want of a better word, that are causing the issue. It's the developed, industrialized nations that are causing the biggest issue. And there's no real commitment to change. And so even here in Aotearoa, you know, we've got this youth coming through that are environmentally focused. But at a decision-making political level, we've got a much older generation who are still thinking that increasing productivity and selling more resources and sending milk products over to China is the way to fix our problems. And it's, like I say, the economy will not fix the environment.
No, absolutely not. You can. And I know that I think in the next couple of days, I know that the various South Pacific nations, the leaders of those nations, are starting to arrive in Rarotonga for the South Pacific Forum. And I'm very sure, well, I would absolutely bet that, you know, the climate and the impacts of climate change and climate warming must be high on the agenda there, because some of those nations are severely compromised now because of the rising sea levels.
Yes, you know, that's going to be an increasing issue, and it's going to be, again, not the countries causing most of the issues that will have to come in and address that issue and support those people. It'll be communities in places like ours. It'll be Aotearoa that will have to address those issues and support our relations in the Pacific. I have massive concerns for our whanaunga I te moana nui ākiwa and the rising sea levels and some of the issues that they are confronting.
Yes. And so, Rangi, your wānanga will wind up or will conclude or finish prior to Christmas, and though, so your next 8-week intake will start in February, will it?
It'll start around February, it will, and if anyone's interested, you know, just go online to Living by the Stars, which is me and my whānau, we put together our own little company to develop our resources, and we go around talking about astronomy, and we go around talking about matariki, and it's under Living by the Stars that we've developed this program, in association with Tipu Ora. Tipu Ora is a Māori education, real focus, mostly training program, and they had a platform online that we've buddied up with them so we can work together to deliver this program. So February will be the next run, and if anyone's interested, you know, please just make inquiries on the webpage, and I'm pretty sure we'll be able to do something together.
Well, look, thank you very much, Rangi. It's been lovely talking with you, and it just seems as if that's what people have been waiting for. But, you know, you have to take responsibility. You were the one that planted the seed in so many minds that probably would have remained a little bit, you know, just looking on, and now they can be very much part of it, learning and sharing, and isn't that wonderful? So we have you to thank for that.
Kia ora, and so lovely to talk to you, e hoa, ngā mihi nui.
Thank you so much, Rangi. Kia ora, thank you very much.